Excuse me, you're a hell of a guy. You know, I really got a thing for American guys. I mean, sickening eyes. I can tell you that you're in touch with your feminine side. Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. Somebody, please tell them who the FI is. I am Nicki Minaj. I'm acting dudes up. Back hoops up and chucks the dudes up.
That was great. Honestly, that was awesome for on the fly. I was like getting right into it. Thank you for doing that, Sarah. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
So you've actually met, have you met Evan in person? You've spoken to him? Yeah.
No, so we've DM'd and we have mutual friends because this was my first year at Maker Camp. He's been in the Maker community a few years longer than me. I just joined like 2 years ago.
Okay.
But we've DM'd on Instagram and sometimes I don't know if I was talking to his mom or him. I think it's more him now.
Or his dad. All three of them are on the account.
Oh, yeah. Dad too. Yeah. Yep. But he goes to like Workbench Con and Maker Camp normally. So he knows a lot of people that I know and he's been on some podcasts that I've been on or that I've listened to too.
Nice. So that's the little 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon going on here, right? That's how we all kind of know each other.
That's how I found you is yeah. that Evan posted the video. So that's I was like, funny. Oh, cool.
That's too funny. No, I love that you reached out. And where are you? Are you in New York, right?
I'm in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay. Yeah. All right. And then we're in Toronto and Evan's in Toronto as well, too. But he was speaking highly about the camp, which I loved. Sarah, let me share the information here and then we'll get rocking and rolling into it. At Rosie's Woodshop on IG and TikTok. You can also find her under Rosie's Pen Turning on Facebook. And then her website is rosieswoodshop.com. And then also her email is rosieswoodshop@gmail.com. And you can also find Rosie's Woodshop on Etsy as well. I'm wearing a Mud Mixers t-shirt. I wear a different t-shirt. People bring me t-shirts so that I wear the t-shirt and then I give them a little shout out on the show. So if you want to send me a Rosie's Woodshop shirt, I would probably wear it on a future show sometime.
You want a black or a white one?
Black. Always prefer the black one. You have the option for both?
Yes.
It still has a pink rose on it?
Yeah.
Totally.
So I have this,
totally wear that.
Background, white writing and the pink rose.
Are you ready to take your construction business to the next level? Consider joining the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program, TAP, where skilled professionals connect, collaborate, and grow together. Our network is built on mutual respect and the shared goal of always building better. As a member, you'll have access to a wealth of resources designed to streamline your operations and attract more clients. From a 30-minute assessment call with myself to expert consultations in business, finance, and health, we've got you covered. Your business information will be featured at www.theconstructionlife.com, complete with certifications, logos, and geo-targeting to help you reach the right audience. Promote your business with a 30-second advert across TCL social channels and our popular podcasts. Get exclusive access to TCL networking events and roundtable shows where you can connect with other tradespeople and general contractors, plus enjoy TCL merchandise, member-exclusive content, and a spot in the TAP directory online. We're going to promote you guys to homeowners across Facebook groups. Don't miss out on this opportunity to elevate your business. Become a member of the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program today and start reaping the benefits. Visit us at www.theconstructionlife.com for more details or DM us through any of the social platforms or text me directly at 416-433-5737 to learn more and consider being a TAP member today. So this is going to be, Sarah, this is going to be like a really rare show because for the most part, I do a little bit of homework or I know a little bit about the person, but I don't really know, and I don't know much about you other than what I've heard a little bit from Evan, and I'm sure he's going to get a kick out of that we chatted and you came on the show, and I'm looking forward to having him back probably in a year and a half and see if he's finished up any of his mom's projects. I was a little shocked that he didn't finish them up, but I'm sure that he's probably going to get a talking to now to try to get them finished up. But I don't know much about you, but I took a glance at online and I love what you're doing and I love the community that's going on. So just like introduce yourself and just share how did it all got started.
So I started woodworking in 2018. I took it senior year of high school because my computer graphics teacher was like, hey, I think you would like this. Most people made like maybe 4 or 5 projects throughout the year. And I think I made 10 to 12.
Oh, wow.
So it was like a really big deal to me. Like I loved building. I wasn't really good at art or anything. But when I got to do woodworking, it was like the coolest thing. So then I actually went to college to be able to teach woodworking. So I went to the College of New Jersey. It used to be Trenton State. It's near Princeton. And I really have a passion for people with disabilities and autism. So I wanted to be able to teach them STEM, woodworking, computer graphics, you know, that whole thing. So CCNJ was the only school that I have heard of that has a dual certification in special education and STEM. So I got my master's in special education, my bachelor's of science in technology education, and my bachelor's of science in elementary education. Normally that would take like 7 years, but I did it in five. And even
Every
when I
waking
went,
minute, you were studying every waking minute, basically.
and like, you're like, you, I don't know if you know, TCNJ is like a really good public school. It's the top teacher college. I don't know if it's in the country, but at least in like the East Coast. It's not easy to get into, but thankfully, you know, I was able to get in. I taught computer graphics to the special ed class. Like, we had a Tri-Valley program in my high school. I was a student teacher there for my senior year of high school, and then I'm really close with my computer graphics teacher, and I was like, hey, can I teach them STEM? And then I talked to the right people, we got it all figured out, and that was kind of what started my spark of all of this. So then I went to TCNJ and I did school every spring break, summer break, winter break, you name it. And that was kind of that experience. And then afterwards, I took a woodworking job for middle school at a very well-known district in New Jersey. And I was not prepared. I thought I was getting hired as a computer graphics teacher. And then my supervisor was giving me a tour and he was like, oh, look, that's your saw stop. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I like knew what a saw stop was. And I was like, why would I need a table saw for computer graphics? And then he's showing me the wood shop. And I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting. Cause I only took two wood shop classes in college. Like, I wasn't a tech ed major. I was a STEM major. But then I took enough extra classes to get certified in tech ed. So that was interesting. I
At
learned a
what
lot.
point did you tell him, I don't think this is the right, like, did you mention that to him? Okay,
I was too
you just
scared.
went with
Yep.
it? Okay.
100%. And I had to have a lot of people help me. This guy, Nicholas Bykirk, was my professor at TCNJ. I reached out to him all the time and he was helping me prep projects. I even visited him at school and we came up with a list for the year of stuff to do. He's really cool. He's the reason I kind of started making pens. And I'm kind of known as the pen girl in the maker community, apparently.
Okay.
I gave a pen to like Pat. Do you know Pat Lapp? I think he's in Montreal.
No, I don't know him. Okay.
Like, I would say one of the most famous turners I know.
All right.
He does stuff with like Tormek and stuff. So I met him this weekend. He sharpened my tools. Hopefully my package gets to him before he list if he listens to this, but I made
Oh,
him a pen with his daughter's name on it
that's
as like
really
a
sweet. Yeah.
I made a pen for Jimmy DiResta. A few other people got a pen, and I don't know, that's apparently so. Professor Bykirk makes you do a pen in class, and I hated it. It was I kept breaking. I put too much pressure on the tools, so they kept breaking, and it was a mess. And then finally, I made one, and I was like, I'm never doing this again. And then I was bored, and then there was a lathe from Penn State Industries that was on sale. Sorry, that's my cat.
Yeah, I see it. What's
So
her name?
his name was Toby.
Toby, okay.
Yeah, he gets to be in a lot of content.
Look, he's a camera hog.
Yes, he loves the camera, right? But so then I was like, you know what? It's $200. Let me buy a pen pal lathe, and I just started turning in my college basement. And I made about 200 pens. I gave a lot out as gifts. Some people bought them, but I was really just like, hey, whatever. And like give them away. And then COVID hit and I made a lot more. But then I'm not the best at fixing machines. And that was the only machine I had. So whenever I broke it, I had to wait 6 months to find someone to fix it. So I basically had it boxed away at like my parents' house for a few years. And then after TCNJ, I went to grad school for a year and then at TCNJ still. And then I was living in Plainsboro, or like it was like Princeton Meadows.
Yep.
If you
Yep.
have you heard of Princeton?
I'm familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was living there. And I was going to Temple there, and I met someone named Peter Sandsmith, and he was like, "Hey, I like to teach people woodworking and you can use my shop for free." And I was like, "Cool." So we started out with shaker boxes, which is such a long process to make, and I had a heavy hand, so it was like hard cu carving out the fingerlings and stuff at first, but I still have my set in the other room. And then he started teaching me how to make bowls because he was like, "Oh, you're a turner, you can do this." I got four pieces of like tree of black walnut off the side of the street.
Yep.
Three out of four of them blew up in my face. I made the shoulder too thin. I don't know if you've ever turned,
No,
but
it scares me a little bit. It just scares me a little bit.
it's always the shoulder that messes me up. My brother has the only black walnut bowl that survived. And he uses it every day for his key bowl. He's the masa chips guy, but
We'll talk a little bit about that later on, but I was
yeah.
curious about from the time that you made the first pen and you said, that's it, I'm done. I don't want to do another pen. That's it. To the time that you started mass producing the pens. How long did that take? And did that first, which actually, I guess technically would be the second pen, was that a fulfilling second pen compared to the first pen?
I don't even remember. I don't even have my first pen. My ex-boyfriend from college got it, and I don't even know if he still has it. I wouldn't be surprised if he threw it out. I don't e like I'll look back at pictures and I'm like, "Wow, those are some rough pens. I could have never sold those." But then there were some really cool, unique ones. I don't make any pen the same. Like people are like, "Oh, you need to work with a company to like where they buy like 20 of the same pens." But I don't really like that, and people have told me ways to do it, and I just haven't gotten into it because that's not my thing. I want every pen to be unique,
Yeah.
and that's kind of what I do. I just play around. I don't really go in with a design idea. However, on my Etsy, it does say that you can order 999 of them. So if someone wants 999 pens of the same one, it kind of sucks, and that's what I'm gonna do.
You're dreading that order. That order might come one day.
If that ever happens, I will be terrified.
Then you'll have to figure out how to assembly line it.
Yeah, so basically, do you know Peter Kapar?
No.
So he's a pretty big account on social media,
Okay.
and he's how I got into the maker community. I met him 2 years ago at a craft show, and we were both doing woodworking, so we were on like the opposite sides of the event. But the person that was at the table with me at the time went to go look around, and they were like, "Hey, there's this other woodworker. He's really cool," and gave me his business card. And I was like, "Oh my God, I have to go check him out." And I brought my lathe to this craft show to try to demonstrate how to make pens, and they gave me electricity, but I did not have the right table set up, and it didn't work, and whatever. So then at one point, I go over to Peter's table, and my ex was watching my table at the time, and we're talking for a lot. His wife is there, and I'm really good friends with her actually now too. But the reason I brought him up is because he came up with the idea, if we can get the shape of a pen. He's really big with lasering and stuff. So he was like, "Oh, if we make a stencil on the laser for the pen, you can hold it up as a guide while you're turning, and so you know how to make repeat pens."
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Been able to do that yet, because whenever I go there, I'm there for like 6 hours and we're just doing a ton of work, and it's the list never ends. So since I don't really have my own shop, I use other people's, or I rent out a studio that I've taught classes at. I'm cur so The joke over the summer was that I had a 2x4 shop, AKA my lathe was set up in my apartment with a blue tarp, and a woodworking podcast called Another Woodshop Podcast. Peter Kapar is on it with Daniel Dunlap and Braden Bokes. They called it like the Dexter murder room. I've never watched Dexter, but obviously I looked it up after they said that.
It's the tarp. It's the tarp. That's why.
Yeah, the tarp. So that was pretty funny. That got kind of big on Instagram.
Are you ready to build a life that's not just fulfilling on the job site, but off the job site too? Welcome to Building Joy, the podcast series from TCL that's all about crafting a brighter, more satisfying existence in every corner of your life. I'm Manny Nevis, the host of the Construction Life TCL podcast, and together with happiness life coach Teresa Greco of the Steps to Happiness, we're laying the blueprint for true happiness. Every episode, we dive into real challenges and opportunities construction workers face in their pursuit for joy. From the long hours and the physical grind to the alliance and pride in the job well done. We're here to show you how to bring more joy into your work, your personal life, and everything in between. Got a story, a question, or just need some advice? We're all ears. Email us at manny@theconstructionlife.com or steps2truehappiness@gmail.com or drop us a message on social media at @TCL_theconstructionlife or @TeresaGreco_steps2happiness. At Building Joy, we know that happiness isn't just a dream. It's something you can build one brick at a time. So tune in, connect with us, and start laying the foundation for a happier, more fulfilled life. After all, the greatest structure you'll ever build is the life you lead. Join us on Building Joy, where we're constructing a better tomorrow, one episode at a time, because life's too short to settle for anything less than joy.
And then I was only living there for a month, and then I moved, and now my parents are letting me use half of their garage. But I moved the end of August and then started teaching again. And it's been so crazy that the only machine that's set up in my shop is a lathe. I have a small bandsaw, I have a scroll saw and a chop saw, and they're just all sitting there with all my other woodworking stuff, and I just haven't had time to set it up. So the only thing I've made is pens, because I have inventory of everything else, and like I have really good friends that basically will make some stuff for me, like cutting boards on like the CNC, because I don't really like glue up cutting boards anymore. I don't think it looks as nice. I think the luxury cutting boards are more like the full piece of wood.
Yeah.
It takes like a few minutes on the CNC to do. So my friend Patrick Ensel just made me like 20 of them, and then I'll sand them, laser engrave it. I'm trying to get them into some storefronts. But I also have craft shows coming up. Like I have a really big one on Saturday.
Where are you getting the raw material from?
So a lot of my material is from Willard's Brothers in Trenton, where I used to buy when I was in college. And when I lived down there, I'd buy. And they give me a nice discount. And I always support them. And I tell other people to go there. Funny enough, I don't know when this is going to air, but this weekend they have their fall flimsy sale where it's like 15 to 75% off their lumber. Wow. So if anyone is listening from New Jersey and is in the Trenton, Princeton area, definitely go check them out.
That's this weekend coming up?
Yeah, tell them I sent you, but you will get $0 off your order.
You'll get a smile and a shake, maybe a handshake.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, Sarah, okay.
I like those little mom and pop shops.
It's a pretty big store. And they also make their own furniture. So I think every $1,000 you spend, you get a ticket to win one of whatever item they're auctioning off.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So now these days, what's the routine these days? If that's the beginning.
Yeah. So I was a wood shop and engineering teacher for 3 years, and it's kind of difficult to mix business and pleasure and doing woodworking that much. And my first year, they actually gave me kids with autism in computer graphics, and that was really cool. And my second year at the same school, they gave me kids with autism in my woodworking class. And they had one-to-one aids with them, so it was totally fine. Like, they had the support, and I was always there when they were using machines. And that is what I want. I want to be able to teach STEM, woodworking, computer graphics, whatever it is, to people with disabilities, because those are the people that I think, like, they don't normally get those electives in public school.
Yeah.
And I just want to help people that need it the most. And to me, that's people with autism.
Yeah.
So then I unfortunately had to leave that school because I had to move back to my home area to kind of help out with family stuff. And the school said, oh, don't worry, we'll give you a special ed class for STEM. And the schedules came out and they were like, oh, next year. And then the schedules came out for next year and they were like, no, it's not going to happen. And I'm like, that, like, why did I move an hour and a half? So it was crazy.
What was the
And then
reason why it wouldn't happen?
I think the liability and insurance.
Really?
Yeah, people don't believe that kids with like disabilities can do woodworking and stuff, and it's really sad because they can. It might not be as amazing and perfect as someone else, but that's not even true because I've had students with disabilities that have done phenomenal. So currently I am a special ed teacher at a private school because I was kind of sick of the public school-ness and everything. And I do teach STEM to my kids. I am like the kindergarten class. It's like kids that are 6, 7, and 8 years old. I do have 7 boys in my class, and it's a little hectic. Some of them are nonverbal, some of them are talking. But last week I actually did. Have you ever heard of squishy circuits?
No.
So Play-Doh's conductive, and you can use in to another type of dough in between it and add LEDs to it and a battery pack, and it
Oh,
lights
that's
up.
really cool.
They were obsessed with it. They loved it. It was the coolest thing ever. I was so happy that they were so happy. So I like once a week I try to do a STEM activity with them.
So are they eventually get on the tools? Is that the idea with your class?
So my it's kind of hard because public schools, I mean private schools, only get a certain amount of funding from the state. And for you to create a STEM classroom, whether it's woodworking, CNC, 3D printing, lasers, like we all know how expensive that is.
Yeah.
So that would be like grant writing or something. And my learning consultant was really interested in it, but my principal really wants to keep me in the room. So it's like potential in a few years from what it sounds like.
So,
But
Sarah, here's a stupid question coming from me. Why don't the brands who make these tools step up and see the value being associated with you and what you're trying to teach to the other people?
oh, you're saying like, why don't they give them to me for free? So it's funny you say that because other people have also said that. My dream is to open up my own STEM woodworking school and have people with disabilities work there.
That's
But
amazing.
I don't have what, $5 million? I have no clue how much that's going to cost. I don't have the time to figure it out. But it's probably to have that big of a building and like have an electrician come, and that's very expensive. And I did a GoFundMe and I posted it on Thanksgiving last year and I got $200. So that is in a separate savings account. I haven't touched it. But I kind of gave up on that idea for now because it's hard to start a nonprofit when you don't have funding. And I know a lot of people on boards for private special ed schools. So I'm just hopefully one of them is listening to this podcast and would love to start this.
I don't even
However,
think that you need to start with the building. I think that, and I bring up that what other people have said, because these companies are giving out these tools for free to influencers, which I personally think is not all that effective, in my opinion, right? And I think that if it's given to you and the end result of what you're going to do with them is far more effective. So, and I think it's hopefully somebody in those corporate, offices of these big tool brands that make these products understand the value of being associated with yourself and what you want to do. And it's not so much about you, it's more about the idea that you're bringing to the table versus someone who has, six-figure influencing following, on social media, whatever. Because I think that train has sailed and it's full of crap these days. I just think that they've gotten to the point where they're showing off items that have been given to them through a influencing garage sale versus you want to actually use these products to educate people and get people to be inspired in this career option, which, and I 100% agree with you, Sarah, that, and I don't want to knock the workforce that's out there, but there's plenty of skilled individuals that are on current job sites that don't have so-called disabilities, that don't even have the skills that these people probably have. And they deserve this, right?
Yeah. And so I actually met someone through Instagram. It's been a crazy last few weeks with everything, but I was there, I want to say, last Monday. And this guy, I will not say how much money he spent on the building because, yeah, like, that's his business. But he got a 9,000 square foot building. It was all gutted pretty much. He redid everything. If you go on my Instagram, I'm riding a Zamboni around the shop, and it's a dust collector.
Okay.
And he did the math, and he was like, it's cheaper to buy this machine than to hire someone to sweep up the shop every night. And I was like, cool, sounds great. So, what's it called? It's like Benchmark Woodworking. It's in Flemington, New Jersey.
Okay.
He was a very big lawyer. I don't remember what law he did, but he also did woodworking. And he wants to, the building's getting renovated, and it will be done hopefully by January. And he's spending a lot of money on the machines. I'm not going to say how much, but more money than I could ever imagine. Basically, he wants people like me to rent out the studio and then sell what I make in his consignment shop, and he would get a cut from it. I have talked to him a lot that I think there's potential for me to be working for him in a different capacity than me paying for the studio, but that's, we'll figure that out. And basically he would have cameras everywhere and a big glass wall so everyone can watch. And then I was telling him that he should teach classes there because that's really how he's going to make money.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Because I teach classes at DYI Joint in Union City, right outside of Hoboken. And those are so popular, and you could charge a lot of money because everyone wants to know woodworking these days.
Yeah. Was he receptive to that idea about setting up classes there?
So insurance is a little, like, he was kind of talking about how insurance is iffy with that and how it's pretty expensive. Like, if I rent out the studio and I say I'm going to do month to month or 1 year, whatever, then he would organize an insurance plan that I would pay $500 a year to have insurance at his shop and to not worry about it. But when you have one-off people that come take classes, then you have to pay for that insurance, and then you have to have them all sign a waiver, because that's what they do at the other place I teach at.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
But I have so many people that want to learn woodworking. And even there's even kid activities you can do that you can just have them using like a drill and making like a candy holder dispenser or something. Like there's so many, or you can have them on the scroll saw. Like as I mentioned, when I was teaching woodworking my first year, I spent months with the kids on the scroll saw, and I was very grateful and thankful that my school had like a $50 million referendum, and they spent over $1 million redoing my classroom. Wow. So it was very hard to leave that classroom because it was all decked out. Like I think we had 8 jet scroll saws.
Wow.
Yeah, and those are close to $1,000 a piece. And we had like a big dust collecting system. I think we had a 5 or 6 shaker dust collector from one wood shop.
What age group, Sarah, would you be talking about? Like, what would be the youngest person that would be coming in here? And I guess there would be no limit on the oldest.
So I think it used to be that I want to open up my own wood shop school, but now because I got so into STEM activities and fine motor stuff for my younger kids on my current job, I would like to have like it be a STEM center too, so I could have the younger kids there. Do you know how Home Depot does those activities on Saturdays, the crafting stuff with the kids?
Yeah, they do that.
That's kind of the idea I want to do, is do those activities with the little kid. And even if Home Depot wants to sponsor it, I may have a networking connection there. It's on my million list of things to do to talk to them. Even just having like magnet tiles and us do a lesson on squishy circuits and have the kids all get to make stuff. And then even letting if I worked with squishy circuits, having them make little kits and letting the families purchase them at the event to take home with them for them to do with their kids later on. So really like working with brands like that. There's so many different STEM activities out there. So that's how I would get the younger kids in. And I would also be interested in doing field trips with schools, kind of like there's a really big place by me called Liberty Science Center.
Okay.
So they do a lot of stuff there. And I did research in college for, I got like a NASA grant to research how vision impairments, how our college campus could be more accommodating for people with vision impairments. And I won the grant through NASA for it to like pay for my summer. And I was interviewed recently for it, and she got me a connection at Liberty Science Center. So at least I can start an event there, but it's craft show season right now, so I'm really not going to have time until like January or February to even think about that.
Meet Jonathan Sinelli, the visionary behind People First Leadership. Jonathan is not your average leadership coach. His People First Leadership approach focuses on putting people at the core of your strategy, creating workplaces where teams thrive and achieve outstanding results. What sets him apart? Jonathan is a master at asking thought-provoking questions that spark genuine conversations and challenge conventional thinking. His deep empathy helps him understand unique challenges and guide people toward impactful solutions. As an accomplished author, media host of the People First podcast, and seasoned project management expert with a background as an electrician, Jonathan offers unparalleled experience and practical insights. Whether you're interested in a one-on-one coaching or breakout room sessions, Jonathan customizes his approach to your needs. He also travels the world, speaking at conferences and business events, inspiring leaders with his dynamic presentations. Discover how People First Leadership can transform your approach and ignite your team's potential with Jonathan Sinelli. Call Jonathan at 416-717-4139 or email him at jc@jonathansinelli.com or reach out to him on his website at jonathansinelli.com. This message is proudly supported by the Construction Life Podcast.
There's a lot of moving parts that I could do. And
so
then
how are you juggling all that? Like, I mean, because you're still offering Rosie's Workshop products and then you're still trying to figure out what the next step is for future. And then whatever else is on the table as well too. So how you navigate through all that?
I make a lot of lists and I have a lot of people that help me. Patrick Gensel is one of my very, very good friends. We talk almost every single day. I'm friends with his wife. I've like FaceTimed him and his family and we've just hung out. This season, he's helping me make a lot of things that I am not able to make right now. And on top of it all, I'm on crutches right now. So I can't make anything and I just have inventory.
What would happen?
So funny you ask. I have a birth defect in like my meniscus or something. So a few years ago, we were dealing with it and I got cortisone shots. I did physical therapy. I had a knee brace and then it went away. So I kind of forgot about it. And then recently this past year, I was doing CrossFit 3 to 5 times a week. And then I'm trying to grow on Instagram. So I was doing a follower challenge and I did like 100 burpees for followers or something within 3 weeks or something. It was insane. Okay. So I was constantly on my knee and it started bothering me. And so I made an appointment last Wednesday for the orthopedic for Friday during lunch. And then 2 hours later, something happened at work and then my knee got swollen. So I had to go to urgent care. It took 3 hours to get x-rays. They didn't find anything on the x-ray, but like even today, it's still kind of swollen over a week later. But because it happened at work, it's through workman's comp. So I'm waiting for them to get my appointment. And then I even called my adjuster right before this and he's off today and tomorrow. And I guess I will mention it here because I did mention it on my Instagram. When you're on workman's comp in the US anyway, you don't get your full salary and they haven't told me what I'm getting. And it's only 30 to 70% of your salary until you can go back to work. Yeah. Now, because I'm a special ed teacher and the students do have behaviors, I cannot go back to work unless I'm on full duty. So right now I'm really trying to push my Etsy and my craft shows because I need to make money. So yeah, I'm just really focusing on craft shows right now. And so Patrick is making me, he just made me like 20 cutting boards. He has some really cool, he's Pine Imprint on Etsy. And he does this full time. Like he's Yeah. So he's also going to make me some ornaments, and I'm going to sell some of his new tables that came out recently. And then Peter Kapar, the other guy I mentioned earlier, he does a lot of my laser engraving. He does my like ornaments because he is a 52-inch Laguna laser engraver.
Nice.
So he can mass produce those, and he lives like 50 minutes to an hour from me. So if it's too much, I'll pick it up or he'll ship them to me.
Are you on metal crutches or wood crutches?
Metal. Do they have wooden crutches?
Well, back in my day, they had wood crutches, and I was going to ask you if they gave you wood crutches, would you have looked at them and going, I need to remodify these. I got to build my own set.
That'd be pretty funny.
I think it'd be great. I think you should actually set up a make them Rosies.
I have a pen pal lathe, so all I can do at turn is pens. I have a chop saw, a scroll saw, and a bandsaw.
Well, crutches, you'd have to shape. You can turn, but then you'd have to shape it to get the point, and then you just have to put the two handles in the shoulder rest. That's it. I'm not saying, I just thought that it would be kind of interesting that if you were walking around in wood crutches, that they should actually be trademark Rosie's wood crutches, right?
It'd be pretty funny.
I think it'd be pretty funny.
I think Instagram would like that, and so would TikTok.
Well, hopefully you heal a lot faster and then you get back on track. But I know where you're coming from regarding a million things on the to-do list. And then where do you begin and how do you begin and how do you get all this help? But I noticed from speaking with Evan and other people in the woodworking scape, there's a lot of support. There's a huge amount of support, which is great.
I am like, you have to come down to Maker Camp next year.
I want
to
check it out. Yeah.
It's the coolest thing ever. There was woodworking, there was metalworking, blacksmithing, silversmithing, glass blowing, jewelry making, leather making classes, and like metal bowl classes. Like, it was the coolest thing. And then I also got to meet Jimmy DiResta and go to his house and like hang out with him. So he is such a sweetheart, and he is just so supportive of everyone in the community. And I did make him a pen. I posted it on Instagram today. And he was just like, oh, this is cool. No one's ever done this for me. Because a lot of people will give him gifts at events.
Yep.
But I was like, I want to make a pen for Jimmy. And instead of putting DiResta on it, which is what everyone normally does, I put Jimmy on it. And of course, I did it in hot pink for his name. The pen was Wenge. And then I did his name in hot pink because my whole branding is pink because I try to make woodworking girly on top of everything else I do. So, like, I was dressed out in pink overalls all weekend.
I saw some of those posts, yeah. But you wait, last weekend? No, that weekend. When was that show again?
I just got back from Maker Camp on Monday.
And you were still on crutches? No.
I've been on crutches since Wednesday last week. So it's been a week now, 6, 7, 8 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do we get this whole list happening?
So since I've been home, I'm really just trying to prep for my craft show and like do a photo shoot for Etsy so I can get more products on Etsy. Cause right now I only have pens and some of my wine stoppers because I just shipped out two of them. So I may only have two or three left. I just haven't had time yet. I have a stool that Patrick Gensel actually laser engraved me and glued it together. So I think I could sit on that and at least turn more pens because I have had to turn people down because I've had like CEOs of companies and say, hey, I need 20 pens, holiday gifts today. I can make a pen in 10 minutes, no problem. And then I laser engrave it. But to have that much inventory on hand takes some time. So I usually try to make like 20 pens at once. I could do like 5 or 6 at a time and then my back kind of hurts. So I'll take a break. And now that since I can't go to work, I'm like trying to get back into it. But I'm focusing on, I have enough inventory for my craft show this weekend. And then after that, I'm going to start making more pens. But I also don't know when I'm going back to work. I'm still waiting for an appointment with the orthopedic to even see if I have to go to physical therapy, get cortisone shots again, more scans, because I don't have the old scans that shows my birth defect. So I don't know if that's like an MRI or CT scan, and I don't know how long that takes. So it's kind of crazy right now.
So when you get the CEOs to actually reach out to you and ask you for about 20 pens or whatever, you could probably ask them, listen, do you want to be a part of a school that I'm starting?
Oh.
It's an opportunity. You got somebody who's in a corporation, and they like your product, and then it gives you an opportunity to actually just, oh, by the way, don't forget, this is coming soon. Want to be a part of it? Kind of idea? No? I
Okay.
don't know. Would that work? It seems like it's a starter. It's a conversation starter.
So I think I don't always remember because craft shows are, do you have craft shows near you
Yeah,
ever?
but there's craft shows here. I haven't been to one of them in a long, long time. I've been focusing on the construction shows more, but yeah.
So it's a little crazy and like I don't remember everything I say. So sometimes I try to have a printout of like things that I'm gonna forget. So I think if I write a little script and like put it on ChatGPT and get that for this weekend, I think that would be good in like a picture frame. So I could try to do that because
You never know
there's a
who might be supportive there. You never know who might look at it and go. And I mean, if you're starting off with pens, you don't know where that could take it.
especially because there's not many extracurricular activities for people with autism right now. My friend started a gymnastics program in Central Jersey. I don't remember which gym is at, but she has to turn down clients because she can't take them all on. And she already has an assistant doing classes with her.
Have you asked her about her insurance parameters? Because I'm assuming they might be similar to yours.
So she doesn't pay insurance because she does it at someone else's gymnasium.
But the kids themselves that are coming, they're just signing a waiver because obviously there's a risk there.
I guess they're signing a waiver. And she does gymnastics with people in wheelchairs. Yeah, Jess Narodin. I'll put her name out there. It's really cool.
No, that's
She
very cool. So what I'm trying to get at is that she's got the same template as yours, pretty much.
I think one day she does want to open her own gym. But right now it's just easier to, she doesn't even have to. So she, I think she gets like half of what the customer pays, but at a gymnastics place, you can charge a lot of money for stuff like that.
Yeah. I got wheel spinning. That's all it is. I've got some wheel spinning.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. I appreciate all the advice.
No, I'm just curious about how you can actually unfold it because it makes sense. I could totally see what you want to build being very, very successful. And I bet you that a lot of people would want to be a part of it or at least enroll their children into it.
The thing is that so I'm 27 and I've been on my own health insurance for a few years, but in New Jersey, once you turn like 26, I think you get kicked off your parents' health insurance. But once I started working a real job, I got my own 'cause mine was better. So that's like my biggest concern, because I do have some medical stuff that's really expensive that I need health insurance for. And I get asked so many times why I'm still a teacher and not doing woodworking full time. And that is probably the reason why.
There's got to be a way around it. I think the companies need to start stepping up.
Hopefully, someone from SawStop is listening to this and they want to give me a free table saw.
SawStops have been very supportive. Like, I don't, I mean, they're good people. They're great people, but also the manufacturers behind lathe machines and other toys out there. Like, they're so easy. They're so quick to just give them away to influencers, right? And now this is them giving it away to a worthy purpose.
Yeah, and I've been scared reaching out to brands. I reached out to, do you know who Logan Newman is?
No, but that one sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's like a huge person in the maker community. He has like over 200, maybe like 220,000 followers. He's a pretty good friend of mine. We're actually doing a giveaway together next week. Because I'm trying to get traction on Instagram. I am doing well with Instagram. I only have like a little over 1,000 followers, but my professional dashboard it says like I've reached like 91,000 views in the last 30 days. So I'm doing something right.
Yep.
I need one video to go viral. I'll get like 3,000-4,000 views. Some of them will get more. So I'm starting to do a giveaway with all of the people I've known for the last year or two. And then newer people I met at Maker Camp. So Logan Newman, he is known for his jigs on machines.
Yep.
His router jig, I think, is one of his most popular ones. I think that's really how he blew up. He also has a really cool story where he makes glasses for people that can't afford them, but he makes the glasses at his high school. Like, he teaches the kids how to make them. And then even on a story today, he said how great it is that he gets to make them. And then he gets to go deliver them to the kids that need them. I don't know how many pairs of glasses he's done, but he's doing it for a long time. But the reason I brought him up is because he does a live podcast show every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So a week or two weeks ago, he had this guy, Nick, who is also a big account. I don't remember his last name, who invented Boss Dog Wood Glue. He started it, I want to say, in January, and he's already in like 30 stores, and he's on Amazon, which is insane. And I was commenting on the live, like, hey, I use another brand, and it doesn't work well with my metal tubing and my pen blanks. They always fall out. They always crack, and I'm wasting a lot of time and money. Is your CA glue better? And he was just like, I'll send you some and try it out. So I actually just got it in the mail yesterday, and I need to order more pen blanks to try that out. So that's like one brand I'm starting to work with. They just send it to me for free. They didn't ask me for any content. I will make content because I want to support other makers.
Yep. Safety Corner, your weekly guide to safer construction. Introducing Safety Corner, the latest must-watch show from the creators of The Construction Life. Co-hosted by safety expert Philip Farrar and powered by his S1 Safety Division, this 30-minute weekly series cuts through the noise to bring you real footage and raw insights from actual job sites. No fluff, just hard-hitting analysis, and Philip and myself break down what went right, what went wrong, and what could have gone catastrophically wrong. Each week, we tackle the biggest safety issues facing the industry today, sharing the knowledge every tradesperson needs to make it home safe. Whether you're on the job or managing the site, Safety Corner is here to help you build smarter, safer, and better. Tune in to revolutionize the way you approach safety on the job. Catch Safety Corner weekly because safety isn't just important, it's essential.
I reached out to another company that I've noticed they don't have many females on their page. They haven't gotten back to me yet, but I did meet them this weekend. And then I just really have to sit down and write my pitch and then have a friend that has worked with a lot of brands to be like, hey, read this and put it in ChatGPT and do all of that. I just also don't have the space to be putting anything. Like, you know ShopSmith?
Yeah.
So, funny enough, I didn't know who they were recently. And another Woodshop podcast made a joke that I'm like one of their youngest listeners, they think, and they were like, oh, Sarah definitely doesn't know what it is, so I had to look it up. And then they were on Sawdust Talk, which is another, there's so many Woodshop podcasts out there, and I DM'd the guy afterwards about everything. And I would love, because I have half of a one car garage right now, and it's filled with all of my like stuff that I just have to organize. So if I could do a deal with ShopSmith, like make one video a week for however long it's worth to them, like, I think that would be a great start just because I'm in a small space and I really like the new owner. I think he has a really cool story and what he wants to do and involved. So that is a brand I have been wanting to reach out to. I just like haven't had the time to even write something out.
What would you call the school, Sarah?
So,
have you given it a thought?
It's between two different names. My great uncle had a luxury furniture factory in Los Angeles called I Am David. It was originally I Am Ginsburg. That was his last name and is my mom's maiden name. And then when he was getting older, it was hard for him to run the business. My mom's first cousin, David, took it over and it switched to I Am David. They had a partner. She joined maybe 10 years ago. She got involved in something and then she ended up buying the company from them. And she offered me to run it with her when I graduated college. But this was May 2021 in the middle of COVID. And what, I was going to take my savings account and move across country and live on my own during a global pandemic. Like, I couldn't do it. And I'm kind of bummed about it because now the company is no longer. But like, I Am David, and I'm going to do an Instagram live with my cousin David at some point on it in the next few weeks. So people can learn more about it. In the 1970s or 80s, I think they had 200 workers at two different factories in Gardena, California.
Wow.
If you go on my store, or I'll send you a picture of the bar table I have. So when he passed away, they sent me his bar table that was in his house. And it's like all by hand, and it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. But they were making pool tables. They were making like $40,000-$50,000 dining room tables for houses on the hills in Beverly Hills and in the mountains, all that stuff. They were making insane furniture. So then when Uncle Irv found out that I was taking woodshop in high school, literally I graduated high school. And I think a few days later, he flew me out and I was there for 2 weeks. And I would go to the factory every day. They would teach me stuff. He needed steps in his garage, so I helped the guys build that. I made a sign that said Zadie Irv, because Zadie is grandfather in Yiddish. And I never got to meet my Zadie, which was Irv's brother. He died when my mom was in her mid-20s from cancer. And so after spending so much time with Irv, so every winter, summer break that I could and spring break, he would fly me out. And my 13th time to California was his funeral. And I actually had a eulogy. I spoke at his funeral, which like isn't normal for someone's first cousin's daughter, you know, all that stuff. I had a really hard time when he passed away and then COVID hit. So like, thank God we got to all say goodbye before. But he had a lot of health issues and everything. So basically the reason I talked about all that is that my Uncle David has the name, I Am David, in his name. And he has the email list of all these people. So once I asked for it, I could restart I Am David, but the email list is for the West Coast. So
still applicable.
Yeah. So I could be like, hey, I'm Irv's granddaughter. This is my company. Like, so another idea I've had is I've had thoughts about restarting I Am David. Of course, if my uncle I think he would let me. I just think it's a lot to do. And I don't really know business as much as other people do. It's funny. Evan actually said on your episode that he's thinking about going to business school. So yep. He knows how to run business. Yeah. So that was pretty smart.
Yep. And I said, that's a very smart move.
Yeah, because Evan, oh my God, I actually met the guitar pick stool he made that he raised $5,000 for.
Yep.
I know the person that got it. I met him at Maker Camp.
Oh, that's funny.
I think his Instagram is like Papa Alabama Chad. He's the biggest sweetheart. He's such a teddy bear. He lives down south. He runs a construction company. But yeah, he's a cool dude.
The reason I was asking you about the name was, when people are reaching out to you to put in orders, you can actually just tell them in a one sentence your school. You can introduce the name of it. You can tell what you're going to be teaching, and you can just leave it at that and let that person get back to you with a follow-up and say, I'm really interested in this school because my son, my niece, my nephew, my somebody would love a school like that. Can I learn more about it? And then now you start telling them the story, and then you'll never know if you sent that out, you know, if people come in to put an order in for your stuff, you get 100 of these people coming back and you're sending out 100 basically small little elevator pictures of the school that hasn't been built yet, but you're doing it to build their interest to see if they might even be interested in being a part of building the school. That's the reason why I was asking.
So, yeah, I could either do I would do something with, like, I am David and Rosie's Woodshop. Or I would at least have, like, it would be, like, Rosie's STEM Center, maybe. Another idea I have is if I were to bring back the factory of I am David at some point, wherever it is, and I've talked about this to my woodworking community friends, and I was like, hey, what would you think if I had a whole apartment set up in the shop and I basically rented you out for like 2 to 4 weeks, you made everything you could, and we either pay you for your time or when your furniture sells, you make a cut or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of them thought it was a good idea, but that's also like, I would be paying all their grocery bills. I would get them a gym membership. I would have an apartment in the factory for them. And they would just make as much as they could for 2 to 4 weeks. And then that would be their line under my name.
It could work.
I need to find someone that wants to donate all that money.
No, I don't think you need to find one person. I think you find a few people and then they'll all jump on board. But I think if you start small by not asking them, but just making them aware of something that's coming.
So it's interesting that you say that, because in all of my packages, and I give like giveaways at all my craft shows, I have a thank you for supporting a small business,
yep,
a sticker, and my business card. So have you ever heard of Mark Adams?
Yeah.
You know Mark Adams, no. The picture guy?
No, I don't.
Okay. So he's really big at Maker Camp. If you saw my page, those black and white pictures, he spends, I think he starts at like 8, 9 a.m., until 2 a.m. He takes pictures of everyone all weekend. Oh, and wow. Everyone reshares them because they're phenomenal. And no one does photography like he does. Like him and I had a heart to heart. We're going to actually be on a podcast in a few days together about Maker Camp. But I told him why like special education and woodworking is so meaningful to me. And then he said his photography is so meaningful to him because, he brings out the beauty in people. Because if you think about it, and this is kind of what we all said at Maker Camp, like some people are really introverts when they have hobbies like woodworking or stuff like that. So Mark ends up having conversations with everyone and bringing out those smiles and the eyes and the, like, people get dressed up, and it's just, it's really sweet. And it's, he got emotional about it and we just connected over it. And, like, we were both so delusional from the weekend because it was, like, 40 degrees out. I was tired. People were golf carting me around. It was phenomenal. Shout out to Dave. He was golf carting me a lot. But then we're both laughing so hard at one point that he was taking pictures of me laughing and he like fell to his knees and he was like, you just made my weekend. And I was just like, you just met me. And he was just like, I needed that laugh. I haven't laughed like that in years. And so he asked us all to tag him in everything and he's resharing it. And then even he wants to work on the algorithm on LinkedIn. So I wrote him a nice post and he reshared it. I don't even know why I brought, so I was thinking of taking one of my Mark Adams pictures, printing it out, and maybe on the backside writing basically what you're talking about.
I think there's something there. I think that if you try to make everybody aware of what you want to build without actually telling them everything about it at first, they'll be more interested in inquiring with you about where is this school? When's it going to start? Who's going to be doing it? Like there's just, you're going to start generating a series of questions that shows interest. And that's why I think it could work. So the same way that you're using stickers and you're leaving all these little touch points, and when you make a purchase with Rosie, that you can do one more. Add one more to the mix, and it starts the ball rolling. Whether that's going to, like we always talk about the digital escape, like you mentioned earlier, about all I need is one video, one viral, and then we're just going to go. But the moment you get that one, the next thing you think is, well, all I need is a second viral video and a third viral video, and you got to keep on growing. But no, the engagement is there because you're attending the events. You're engaging with people all over social media and digital spaces. And then people are getting the word out there. So now you start telling people that this is what I really want to do. This is, everybody has a little thing that they want to do, and they want to turn that little thing into a massive thing. Everybody that's in construction, in woodworking, creative fields, photography, anything like that. Like, everybody wants, the purpose we create, the reason we create is because we want to connect with so many more people. So right now, if it's just on your to-do list, you're the only one that knows that. So if you leave a button or something, I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to be your marketing person. I'm just looking at it. I've done the same thing, and it works. Like, if you never go in to sell it, you go in to just start it. You plant it, you start it, and then you let other people come back at you. And that could be the first month. It could be the first post. It could be a year from now. We don't know. But I guarantee you that if you start it, next time you attend another event, you will bump into somebody that goes, listen, I got your sticker about I Am David, or whatever you're going to choose to call it. And they'll be like, can you please tell me a little bit more about it? And that's it. And you're not selling it. You're just telling the story about it. And then you'll find the right people that will want to be either a part of it, contribute to it, be a teacher in it. You never know. There might be teachers right now on the West Coast, on the East Coast that, like, you know what? I need to change my life. I'm on the West Coast. I'm not happy. I want to go and do something else. I want to go and teach kids, specific kids, woodworking skills. Introducing Alt Labor Solutions, the game changer for contractors and laborers. Are you a contractor needing skilled labor, or have labor in need of quick shifts? Or how about buying, selling, or renting tools, material, and equipment? Connect easily with contractors and find resources hassle-free through Alt Labor Solutions online platform. Post job listings with project details, browse public resumes, and choose the right person for the job. Explore their job board for new opportunities and connect with top talent. Alt Labor Solutions revolutionizes the labor industry with a user-friendly interface, secure payments, and a supportive team. Visit them at altlaborsolutions.com and start connecting with other contractors today. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. And you never know. There might be a version of you on the West, on the North. We don't know. We don't know, right? Until you get that message out there. So that's why I was just bringing it up. It's not a matter of an instant gratification. It's not about, like, we're going to get a viral hit and it's going to be millions of people checking it out and going. It's not about that. It's really not. It's really about connecting with one person. I started this show, and I'm sure that Evan did the exact same thing. And you too. You built the one pen. You built the first pen. Like, you never thought building that first pen was going to lead to what it is right now. Probably at that time, you never thought that. Same thing. When I started the show, all I cared about is one person was listening. I'm happy. I'm a happy camper. And I'm a lot more than that. It's taken years and it's taken time, but I've gotten the opportunity to meet and speak to so many different people that I would never have spoken to if I was standing at the corner of an intersection just waiting for the light to turn green. Like, you connect with people because of their passion and their creativity. Everyone just ignores everything else, and everyone just focuses on, I want to be a part of your passion and your creativity. And I guarantee you there's more than one person out there that wants to be a part of your passion and creativity.
So I graduated undergrad May 2020. And how my program worked is that my fifth year, my grad school year, you student teach one semester and you're in grad classes the other one. So you can work while you're in grad classes because they're at night. I ended up being a full-time nanny for a kid with autism. So I basically did school with him for the day. And I was there from like 8, 9 in the morning till 4 o'clock, did grad school at night, and then had another job on top of that because apparently I like to work a lot. And then the summer in between grad school and my first job, I was like an au pair. I lived at their house for 3 months or so, or 2 months. And I helped take care of him. And, you know, I helped around the house. And I'm still very, very close with that family. I was actually at their house for dinner last week. And, you know, It's a very well-off family, and she's on the board at his special ed private school. And I think once I have my pitch, like going to her, she's also like HR of like Verizon. Like she's up there, and like her husband is, I think did stuff in the stock market. They invest a lot. So she would be the person for me to be like, hey, this is my idea. What do you think? It's a nervous anxiety thing, and I'm scared because I've been told no my whole entire life. And I'm just a very passionate person, and I'm a very hard worker. I don't give up. I'm very persistent, but I'm scared to take that jump, leaving the teaching career and like starting my own business like that.
Can I ask you, sir, because obviously you've got a world more experience speaking to these children than I do. Have you ever had conversations with these kids about what you do regarding the woodworking?
Neurotypical students or kids with disabilities?
Disabilities.
Wait, can you ask that again? Like, what do you
So, like,
mean?
have you had the opportunity to speak to a kid with disability, the kids that you want to work with, that you want to help? Have you taken your pen and showed it to them and asked them, do you want to learn how to make this?
No, I usually have projects that are different. Because like the lathe could be a very dangerous machine, and like I've never taught someone how to use the lathe because the school I was at the time didn't even have a lathe when I was teaching woodworking.
But it's
So
not so much about using the lathe, but you can actually show. What I'm trying to get at is that I honestly believe, and you probably know this too, they're going to connect with woodworking. And what I'm going with, exactly. So you can show them the pen that you've created. It's not that the child is going to turn it, but that child's going to probably assist with sanding it or assembling it or being a part of the process of making that pen. And that's what the real question's all about. The question's about, do you want to learn how to make this? And this is one of many things. And I think that these kids, as you probably know, will connect with woodworking like no other children.
I definitely agree with you because a lot, like I know Wawa and Stop and Shop or ShopRite, those are like stores near me. Like they do job coaching and the kids can go and work there. Or the kid I used to nanny, Robbie, does like Meals on Wheels and he's just lifting the food and delivering it type of stuff. But why can't they work at a woodworking school slash manufacturing center? Like they can run the dust collector, they can run the Zamboni, we can teach them that. They can maybe not use a chop saw because I don't even like chop saws, and that was going to be my answer for one of your questions. I hate chop saws. I still have one because to me a chop saw is the most dangerous machine.
I agree. Sawstop needs to make a chop saw.
They
I
do.
have no idea how. I brought this up recently on a show. I don't know how you would do it, but they need to make a miter saw that's a sawstop. Yeah. But I'm just like, I think that the kids will be there. And I think don't worry so much about the pitch. Like, I don't think you need to have all the ducks in a row. I honestly think you need to be subliminal with this pitch. I think you need to like just drop Easter eggs here and there or something like that. Just like little thoughts in people's heads. And it's just like, and get them asking you about what you want to do instead of you telling them what you want to do. I think that's how you get the pitch succeeded.
Because you could tell I could talk for hours about all this stuff, and I
No,
talk really
I, so you love it. That's what I mean. You love it. So we already see that, and the people that you've worked with, and they know about you, they know that, but they need to see how they can contribute to make this a reality without you asking for that. That's how I think it works.
Okay.
So I would say, don't worry about the pitch. The pitch is never going to be perfect to begin with. It's always going to be revamped. It's going to be modified. It's going to be ever evolving because you're going to get different children that want to be a part of it. And they're going to have their own challenges. And then you're going to be like, well, there goes that course load. Let's figure out this now because you're going to want to be assisting that child. So I think that if you just you plant the seed to everybody that has an opportunity to be a part of it financially speaking, and then they'll feel good about it. But also if they have children that would want to be connected to woodworking, that starts to open up a lot of doors. That's all I'm saying. I think it's worth a conversation, or at least trying it out. But I just think that yesterday is the day that you should have started sending out this pitch. The subliminal pitch version is what I'm saying. Right? And I think I love that you reached out to me and you had no idea who I was, but we connected through Evan, and now here we're talking, and it was just like a couple of days ago. And you don't know, somebody might listen to this show and they might reach out to you and then talk to you and then go, listen, I heard you guys talk about the school that you want to start, and then I want to know more about it. I would hope that would happen. I would love for that to happen. And then you never know, right? And then all you can do is, and obviously bring it up on the next podcast that you're going to be speaking with, and then bring it up as many times as you can, and then start designing that school right now and start sharing those ideas on social media and get other people that you know in your network to start talking about it as well.
Yeah, I wasn't even trying to be on a lot of podcasts, but after Maker Camp, one of the makers, he has a podcast, and he asked Mark to come on, and Mark was like, who would be the best person to talk about their experience at Maker Camp? And he was like, Sarah from Rosie's Woodshop. I was like, that was so cool. Thanks, Mark. And I think one other woodworker is going to be on the show. And then I have, a content creator podcast next week. And then there's a few others that have reached out, or I've reached out to, and was like, hey, can we chat? So I can't move that much. So I'm just going to be in bed in this setup. I have my 19-inch ring light over here. You're on a box of Masa chips, actually. And my computer's charging.
That's how it's done these days, as simple as that. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Sarah. For the most part, sometimes I get people on the show because I want to pick their brain about how I want to do certain things in my own life. They have more knowledge than I do, so then I'll get people that have specialty skills. And I'll be like, let me paint you a scenario. I've got this situation, and how would you handle that? And I'm basically just getting free advice from somebody who would actually pull it off. So when you're doing a content creation podcast, I definitely encourage you to go, listen, let me say, what if I were to start a school in today's climate? How would I get people to notice this school? I would think about a few questions to ask that way, and then get them to give you their advice, their thoughts, and how you pull it off.
And so I have two interior designers in my family. I know a few architects, and I know some people that have accomplished very big companies starting from zero. But it's really hard to get help from friends and family sometimes. And I love them all to death. And when they support me, they support me. But I have been told no many times from people that are very close to me. And they're like, that is not a good idea. You are not going to be successful. And it really hurts. It really hurts that my own family have said that, but I'm just trying to do the best I can.
But that's fine. I mean, you're not hearing the no's from your family online.
Correct.
Right. So, I mean, we all know what the whole process of someone saying no, it just means that it's not for you. It just doesn't, and they could be reflecting what they want to see in their own lives. So it's, everybody's unique. Everybody's got their own thing. So I get it. Trust me, I've had my own situations too as well. And sometimes your closest friends and your family are not the cheerleaders that you need.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't know, but let them come around when it's successful.
Yeah.
Then you could point at them and go, I told you so.
Because they have very big brands, and the interior designers, I haven't brought this up to, but I did bring it up to someone who has a pretty big company, and they were basically like, oh, you can start a nonprofit, but you're not going to make money from it. And I was just like, okay. So, yeah.
But that's okay. But those are the people you don't want to speak with. Okay. That's their opinion. That's fine. If everybody, I'll just my own situation. I had plenty of people to say, shut up, stop doing the podcast, Manny. Like, if I listened to them, I wouldn't be at show, I don't know what this is, 651 or 652 or something like that.
Insane. I don't know any podcast that has that many episodes other than, like, I don't want to mention him.
No, I know. But the thing is, like, I agree with you. So for every time that people say no, and I love joking on the show so many times, they go, if you don't like me, get in line. If you don't like what I say, or if you don't like anybody that's been on the show, you don't agree with their views or whatever, then send me an email of hate and I won't read it. I don't care. So nobody, I get no real hate online anymore because I've gotten to the fine art of I don't care. So I have a magic number on how many shows I'm going to create. I'm past half. I will tell people that much, but I've not told a soul, nobody, on what that magic number is. But yeah, no, when I started the show, I was on that path to get to that magic number. So show number one, show number two, whatever, that was nothing to me, you know, and I've had some hiccups and I just kept on going. So to have, I'm probably going to cross 700 before the year's out. That's what I'm on track to doing, which I love because I love meeting new people and I love having these conversations. And if they can help me and I can help them, all the better. But I think there's a lot of great people out there with a lot of great ideas that never get started because they think that everything has to be perfect. And I think when it comes to creativity, there's no such thing as perfection. Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at @TeresaGreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. It's not. It's not the way it works. When you create something, it has to evolve. And I think with your idea specifically, you need other versions of you to be a part of it.
And I have already been told I'm a unicorn, that I can teach woodworking and special education at the same time. And it is very hard to find those people. I have woodworking friends that said they would teach for me, but then I also have to teach them about special education, which isn't that bad, like doing modifications and differentiation. I know it like the back of my hand at this point.
But that would be easy to do, though. That would be easy for you to do that.
It would be harder to get a special ed teacher and teach them woodworking.
I agree. Yeah. It's like the whole classic Michael Bay Armageddon thing. Why do we teach oil rig guys to be astronauts instead of get astronauts to teach them how to be oil rig guys, right? It's just like... That's an ever ongoing argument there, but I think that everybody, pun intended, would come out of the woodwork easily to be supportive, to be a part of it, to be a teacher, to contribute. And I think if the brands are listening, they should ship up and stop giving out free tools to social media influencers and start giving it to social media purposes. You know what I mean?
Totally agree with you. And I've been told by other people to start reaching out to brands about what I want to do. But also if they're like, hey, yeah, I'll send you a table saw. Where are they sending it? I have a storage unit that's 10 by 15, but I can't fit, you know, so then this isn't a 5-10 year plan. This is a I have to figure it out now type of thing.
Yeah, but if the hard part is getting the saw, then figure out the location.
Yeah.
That's the easy part.
So that's the other thing, a conversation I want to have with the guy opening up the place in Central Jersey, Benchmark, is me starting the classes there and like using that facility. But that is a conversation for whenever the next time we talk. Because if I can, he dropped a lot of money. Like, he's getting the best machines. I think he's getting, like, because the other thing is that he wants a storefront, sell all the stuff, and he wants $10,000-$15,000 dining room tables in there. So he needs a big enough planer for that. He needs a big enough table saw. He needs a bigger enough bandsaw and resaw and all that stuff. So I think that is this is my way in to getting my dream if he's interested in fulfilling that. And he actually was really into my background in special education because he works with kids with autism for coding. He does this programming software for them. So I think he has a soft spot for kids with disabilities. So I am hoping, you know, that could be the step into this, whatever this is called.
You haven't chatted with him about it yet.
So I was at his shop for 3 hours last week, and then I had to go because I had an appointment, and then he came to Maker Camp. I told him, you definitely have to come. I introduced him to Eric Curtis, Logan Newman. I don't even remember who else because he was bopping around everywhere, but he had an amazing time. We've messaged a little bit after. I just have to set up another call with him to be like, hey, so what do you want to do together? You know? And he's a really nice, great guy. And I love what he's doing. I think it's really awesome.
So have a conversation with him sometime. Just see what happens out of it.
I will probably message
subtly. You're not selling it. Just this is where you're going. This is where you're headed. Simple as that. And see if it piques his interest. See if he wants to give you a little bit of space. Even if it's one student. What if it's just one student at first? Just one student to try.
Yeah.
And see what happens from that, right? And you never know what will happen. And then that way you can actually capture that on social media. You can share that as well, too.
Yeah.
Here's our first student.
I'm very big. And especially, like, I don't know if this is the same thing where you are or in Canada. People usually don't bring their kids with disabilities to grocery stores, the mall, Target, Walgreens, CVS. And that was a really big thing I noticed after COVID, that there's more people with disabilities in the public eye. And if you go on social media, like, what's her company? Jordan Summers makes t-shirts. I have like 5 of them, and it says like, be kind to everyone. Yeah. And she has autism, and she started her own company with this. They have like hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram now. And they just sell stuff to like, be kind to everyone and stuff around like autism awareness, and it's beautiful. And then I saw another kid with cerebral palsy invent his own hot sauce. He had the funniest video where he like crashed through a boxes on his wheelchair, and he was like, try my hot sauce. So that was really sweet. And I feel like people with disabilities, it's coming out more into the world, and it makes my heart warm.
I think there's a major need for children with disabilities and woodworking. I think there needs to be a marriage there.
Yeah, because they can do it.
Yeah.
And everyone's told me no. And I'm just like, I have literally done it.
I haven't said no. I haven't said a single time I said no.
Sorry, not you. But people that I have worked for have said, no, it's not going to work. It's not safe. And it's just like, okay.
These brands that make these tools, they're making them safer every single day. They're smart about things. And they're safe. I think if they're taught by the right person, they're safe. I totally think so. So
I definitely have the community behind my back that could be like, yeah, I can come on Mondays and teach for 4 hours. You know, obviously I'd pay them.
Of course.
But I have some really good friends that are up there, and, you know, there's other connections I still need to make, but I'm doing the best I can.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
I wish you the best. So hang on. We got to do the 12 questions. Sarah Goldstein's here at Rosie's Woodshop on Instagram and TikTok, and also on Facebook under Rosie's Penturney on Facebook. And then her website is rosieswoodshop.com. Her email is rosieswoodshop@gmail.com. I change it for Evan. I change it for the woodworkers. What's your favorite woodworking word or phrase? Woodworking word or phrase?
Measure. You never heard measure.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah, totally. I didn't hear it clearly. Least favorite tool?
Chop saw, 100%. They're so dangerous.
What do you miss from your childhood?
Playing outside. I don't spend enough time outside anymore.
I don't see kids playing outside these days, and I keep on wondering what's going on. I played outside as a kid.
It's because of iPads and social media.
That's what rocks are for.
I literally remember making mud pies in my backyard with my brother.
Climbing a fence, jumping off the garage, getting your hands dirty.
Yep.
Putting tears in the jeans and the knees.
And you know, that's the funniest thing. People are like, oh, your dad or grandfather must have taught you woodworking. And I laugh and I said, no way, not at all. They haven't touched wood ever. I think my dad took woodworking in middle school. But yeah, I took it in high school and here we are.
We're at the beginning. What woodworking sound do you love?
Turning on the lathe.
Favorite beverage?
Spindrift seltzer, because I literally have a seltzer fridge in the corner of my room filled with it.
What turns you on and off in woodworking?
Making bowls is the turn me on, because have you ever made a bowl?
No, I'm impressed by it, but I've had plenty of woodworkers bring me bowls and I have them in the studio here. Yeah.
It is addictive and you don't want to stop. And then you realize your feet are numb because you've been turning a bowl for 6 hours. And then the turn off is when the bowl explodes in your face.
Favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
So I've had a few cars, and my favorite one was a 2001 Honda Accord 5-speed. It was manual, and I drove it in college for 3 years.
I love 5-speed.
They're great.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
I don't know, because I do special ed and I do woodworking.
Is there room for a third?
What?
Is there room for a third?
I'm pretty good at ceramics, apparently. I've thrown a few pots and planters and bowls, and I don't know what I'm doing. And then, like, my friends who are professionals are like, that's really good. And I'm like, okay, cool. That was fun.
It's another kind of turning.
Yeah.
I could see that. What profession would you not like to do?
Finance.
Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
You make really nice pens.
Thanks so much, Sarah. I really appreciate that you reached out, and I love this chat. This was amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. And I wish you all the best, and reach out anytime. And I'm sure that we'll cross paths one day.
Sure, definitely.
So I'm glad that we have the 6 degrees of Evan now. It's not Kevin Bacon anymore. 6 degrees of Evan. And yeah. He knows a lot of people and you know a lot of people. So let's just let's see what happens.
Definitely.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Nice. We're out of here. You.